Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight will be a different kind of show. I'm a better, I like to say, producer than I am a talk show host. But tonight, I'm going to talk to you tonight about my personal nightmare. Our mayor, Bessie Price, has been in office 10 years now. She originally came in at 2011. That was about the time that my nightmare began. In 2011, February 28, 2011, at the corner of Rosedale and Cravens, or Rosedale and 820 South, I guess I should say Interstate 820 South and Rosedale, Sherrall Thomas was killed. A lot of people refer to him as Rara. So Sherrall Rara Thomas was killed by the Fort Worth police at that corner that night. I was very new to talk show circuit, and I was very eager to make a name for myself, if you will. So I would go after stories very aggressively, never expecting not to get the story. That said, that story blew up very quickly. I then went and found out who the family was, the mothers of the children that were in the car, as well as the passenger that was in the car that night. I was able to get them all to come onto the show. That said, my first show I did in March of 2011, I spoke with just the family and the mothers of the children. In October of 2011, I also spoke with the passenger and the family again on that show. The passenger described what occurred that night, and it differed greatly from what the police had said. Those two shows on my website have suddenly become encrypted, and I am not even able to hear them myself. Of all the shows that I have, those two have been encrypted. But saying all that to say, in that show or on those shows, the family was very candid about their feelings about what happened. A lot of the community in Stop 6 called into that show. The phone lines were jammed on both shows. Some of the community leaders, pastors came onto the first show. On the second show, like I said, it was the passenger, the adult male passenger that was in the vehicle that night. He was in the front seat. The young man said that a lot was going on to the point that he felt his life was in danger, and he actually bailed out of the car after a bullet went through his pants leg. That said, my life changed forever when I signed off of that show. I began to be followed across city and state lines. I saw my phone being tapped, my emails being hacked into, my website being hacked into when I would do certain shows. They got other police departments involved, like the Memphis Police Department and the Dallas Police Department. I moved to both of those cities because of the harassment was so incredible here. I thought moving to another city would fix it. It did not. They just made a phone call, and those police departments just picked up where Fort Worth PD had left off. They've broken into my home. They even removed the locks off of my storm doors. I mean, just whatever they could do to create and instill fear in me, they did it. My house was vandalized. Things were stolen from my house. And this is a story I briefly told the city council 2 weeks ago and also emailed the mayor and the city manager again about what are y'all going to do. Since 2011, I have not gotten one response from the mayor, not one. I've written her. I've written David Cook. I've written or attempted to write Jay Chapa. For some reason, his email never does go through. But this is something I've written to every police chief from Halstead, where it started, to Fitzgerald, Krause, and now Noakes. No one ever responds back. My insurance did not cover what they did because I was not in my house 30 days prior to the break-ins and the vandalism. Well, that said, I wasn't living here due to fear from the harassment that I had been dealing with. No one knows the nightmare. No one knows the nightmare of being afraid of the same people that are supposed to be protecting and serving you. It's a scary feeling to always know that you got to do everything right because you don't ever want to do anything to invite them into your life. That said, I'll continue. They broke into my house at some point while I was not here, turned on the water. And this is documented with the Fort Worth Water Department. And they ran up a $900 water bill. Now, this is where it gets crazy. When I left my house, I left my water bill at a zero balance, closed my account, and had a meter lock put on the box so that knowing that this would probably happen, I asked them to please put the lock on, documented that they put the lock on, made sure everything was fine. While I was gone, someone broke the lock off of the meter, and ran up a $900 water bill. The weeds in my backyard were as tall as 6 feet because so, and they were so thick because the water had continuously ran for a period of time in my backyard. That said, when I tried to come back to my home, Fort Worth Water Department said, you have a $900 water bill. And I said, that's impossible. Long story short, we went back and forth until I had to prove that I wasn't even in the city and that I had asked them to put a lock on the water meter so that this wouldn't happen. And still they tried to make it my fault. And I said, it's an impossibility that I can be responsible for something that occurred in Fort Worth when I wasn't even in the city due to fear from your police department. So after a long back and forth, they finally backed off of the $900 water bill, but it wasn't my bill anyway. If you ask me, it just wasn't. That said, they've interfered with job opportunities. They blocked them. They have gone so far as to scare my neighbors. I have what I call police informants on my block. So they monitor your going and coming. But, of course, these people that are police informants are either forced or paid. So we all understand that, right? So what type of people become police informants? Criminals. So I won't say what kind of activity they are involved in, but I'll let you draw your own conclusion. But those are the people they use to monitor your going and your coming. I had a car, a 1995 Honda Accord that had approximately 40,000 miles on it because I never drove it a lot, in perfect condition. They start messing with the inspection where the emissions test would not pass. I took it in three different times. It failed three different times. Knowing that there was nothing wrong with the car, I sold the car. Sold the car only to find out that the new owner, who I knew, took it in to be inspected one time and never had a problem. Well, when they mess with your inspection, that also messes with your registration. So without being able to clear inspection, I wasn't able to get my registration updated. So it's a cycle. They followed me to Memphis. And let me tell you all my story in Memphis. And this is something, it's hard to talk about, but I'm going to do this. When I moved to Memphis, which is where I grew up, and the majority of my family lives. That said, I have an elderly mother that lives here, siblings, cousins, uncles, aunts, not wanting to take my problems to anybody else's house. And I'm going to repeat that, not wanting to take my problem. I'm calling it my problem because I'm the one that's dealing with it, but I shouldn't have ever had to deal with it. That said, not wanting to take that to anybody else's house. With a house here in Fort Worth, I lived in a hotel for a year in Memphis out of fear of taking this to my family's home. I'm sure you all know the cost involved. Even while there, I look out in a snowy night, and what is outside my hotel room but a Fort Worth PD unmarked car? I go outside. I take pictures of the vehicle's license plate and the vehicle. I then send an email back to the police chief and the mayor and the city manager, and instantly, within a 30-minute period, that car is gone. That's the kind of things I've dealt with. I've also been followed in and out of businesses where they told the manager or gave the manager the impression that I was somebody who they needed to monitor when I'm in their location. Again, like I said, they scared my neighbors. They removed porch lights. I was attempting to rent a U-Haul in 2012 over on McCart. If anybody's familiar with Fort Worth and McCart, I made the reservation and was unable to pick up the truck the same day because I had so much to pack that we were not ready for the truck. So it sat there one day longer than it normally would have. When I got there to pick up the truck, I noticed some of the same undercover people that I'd seen before. So, again, I'm afraid to scare my family. My brother's with me. My mother's with me. I'm afraid to say anything. And I'm just praying the whole time, oh, God, what's really going to happen now that they're here? Not understanding the full scope of what really was going on. So when the counter person finally got to me and we went outside to inspect the truck, the angels had to be covering me because the truck wasn't big enough. When they popped the back of the truck and I looked in, I instantly realized that my 1,700 square feet house plus my small house in the back with the stuff that I have in it was not going to all make it in this truck. So I told the person, do you have a bigger truck? And that's when she said, well, yeah, we have a bigger one. And I said, well, we're not going to be able to take this one. Can we switch it out? So we paid the difference, and they gave me a bigger truck. And so we took the truck back to my house. We loaded it, and when we got on the road, driving the speed limit, my brother was driving the truck, and I was driving the car behind him. Just as we got through Dallas, we were pulled over by the K-9 unit, And I didn't get pulled over. They pulled over the truck, not the car, but the truck. I was right behind my brother, and he wasn't speeding. So I'm, like, wondering, well, why are we being pulled over by the K-9 unit? He went to the truck, and he told my brother that I'm stopping you because the license plate on the truck does not visibly show what state it's coming from. So that's why I'm stopping you, as though the person who's renting the truck alters that. That's something that would be a U-Haul issue. So I'm thinking the K-9 unit is pulling over a U-Haul truck because he can't see the license plate. Okay. Well, I would later find out that when they have the dogs in the back, those dogs pick up whatever scent it is, if there is a scent. So the K-9 unit, and I'm just thinking out loud, y'all, so forgive me, but I'm questioning whether or not, well, I'm sorry, let me go back, y'all. I forgot a very, very important part of this story. I apologize. Let me go back to after we picked up the truck. After we picked up the truck or changed the truck out, let me start again, y'all, I'm sorry. Still at U-Haul. At U-Haul, there was a tall, very lanky JJ, black folks will know what I'm talking about, JJ kind of figure, medium complexion, very tall and thin, black fellow. He was with a black female, and they were appearing to be renting a truck as well. He had blue surgical gloves on. Pay attention, blue surgical gloves. So that stood out to me. What's he doing at U-Haul with blue surgical gloves on regular clothes, but blue surgical gloves? So that stood out. So, again, we get the truck. We bring the truck home. That evening, That person drove by my car in a silver BMW, a silver BMW who had been following me repeatedly and sitting outside my house, but they would always have their windows raised up. But they would let me know that they were there. Well, that day after I got the truck, that African-American, tall, very slender person who I'm assuming works over here at East Precinct or did, drove by my house with his window cracked, I guess like in a taunting fashion, and it was the same man that had been at U-Haul that day with the surgical gloves on. And so, again, when we put the road, with the truck on the road, yeah, we got pulled over by the K-9 unit. So I'll continue. I have had that same car sit outside my house until the wee hours of the morning. I have submitted FOIA requests. If you all are not familiar with what a FOIA request is, that's a request under the Freedom of Information Act for the Fort Worth PD to tell me if there is an investigation on my house, if there's an investigation on Kerry Hines. I went back as far as I've been in this house because I wanted to know if you have a reason to investigate me, let's talk about it. But if you don't, leave me alone. Well, in the FOIA request, initially they didn't respond back in a timely manner. I then had to go through the AG's office to get them to respond, only for them to come back and say, we don't have an investigation on you, that part. So it can only be one or two things. Either there's an investigation that's without cause because, one, I'm not a criminal. Two, I'm not involved in any criminal activity. And three, I don't associate with criminal. So either you're investigating me without cause or it's harassment. It can't be both. They block rentals. When I was in Memphis, every time I attempted to rent a place, it would be in the paper or it would be on their website, the management company's website. By the time I got there, it was suddenly rented. I've had my tires put on flat repeatedly. I mean, repeatedly. I met with the assistant city manager at that time, who was Rudy Jackson. Rudy Jackson was also, if I remember correctly, the fire chief. After meeting with him, I submitted to him dates, times, license plate numbers of the unmarked cars. They lied to me, y'all, and told me that those are not their people, that part. I hired an attorney out of Dallas to meet with me and go with me to that meeting with Rudy Jackson, only for them to get to the attorney. The attorney took my money, $1,500 retainer, never did one thing, never even compiled a file on me. So as it get closer and closer to the meeting date, I realized he just wasn't available. I called, I emailed, called, emailed, nothing, which if you know anything about law, that's not supposed to happen with an attorney-client relationship. So I immediately knew I was in trouble. I fired the attorney. The attorney takes the majority of my money and tells me, here's $500 back, and he lies about what he'd done. He used two Fort Worth police officers as his alibi for work he allegedly did on my case, but per him, he couldn't disclose the information that he found out about my case because it was put his officers, who were Fort Worth PD officers, in danger, that part. But I ended up filing a reprimand against that. Or I'm sorry, not filing a reprimand, filing a complaint with the bar against that particular attorney, and it resulted in a reprimand. That particular attorney right now is under indictment for a federal indictment for money laundering, drug money. So God don't like ugly. I've had my mail messed with. I've had mail destroyed. I've had mail returned to the sender. I've had mail delayed. And this is over there on Rosedale, the Poly Post Office, and also when I was in Dallas. So, I mean, we're talking about federal criminal stuff here that police officers are doing to a person who isn't a criminal. I've had cars that I took in for maintenance. I'd be sitting there forever. I'd finally get up and say, hey, listen, why is all these people that came in after me, like, leaving and I'm still here? You know, what's taking so long? The last time it happened, more than once, it resulted in free maintenance because we're just going to make your day because we made you wait. But they can't ever explain why I had to wait. They can't explain, like, why did so many people, like 10 people, come behind me and leave, you know, and I'm still here. Just all types of little things where you have to be careful when you do business with people that it's a big business rather than a small business, because they would manipulate small businesses and have them feeling like if the police say something, you automatically have to do it. So I rarely do business with small companies. I have literally paid mortgages for 7.5 years for a house I didn't stay in. 7.5 years. Because I couldn't live in my house and feel safe in my house because I was fearful. I got rid of my alarm system in my house because I was fearful that my alarm starts acting up. Every time I had a problem, every time I turned around, the alarm system was going off. It was going off and I couldn't fix it. I ended up disconnecting the alarm system because I was afraid my alarm would go off at 3:00 in the morning. The police would come out and kill me like they did at Tatiana Jefferson. So for that reason, I unplugged it. I completely dismantled the alarm system for fear. That said, I had a friend who knew more about wiring than I did. The friend came to my house, completely detached every single wire to the alarm system, and cut the wire coming out of the ceiling so that it wouldn't go off anymore. Years later, I would say maybe 2, I came back to my house because I would always, when I lived in Dallas, check on it on a weekly basis. I came home with my brother and a friend to check on the house. And the minute I stuck the key in the door, the alarm went off. The alarm's not supposed to go off when you cut the wire and you detach the wires. Now, if I was just to say I did it and there weren't any witnesses, you could say, well, Carrie's just going crazy. But I had a friend to do it because I didn't know what I was doing. So the alarm wasn't supposed to go off, but it did the minute I stuck my key in my door. So, again, harassment on all kinds of, some of it borders on petty, some of it borders on childish, some of it borders on I want to bankrupt you and make certain that you are penniless. Some of it bordered on I want to scare you and just, you know, I mean, just have you living in constant fear and looking over your shoulder. It was so many levels. And the best way to describe it is COINTELPRO. If you're not familiar with that, you may not understand. But COINTELPRO is many subtle ways that they do harassment. You know, and it's supposed to be something that people say isn't happening anymore, but it absolutely is happening, more than you might even realize. And I take a deep breath, y'all, because I don't know if anybody knows what it feels like to try to pay to live in two places at the same time and have to juggle between the two because you can't safely live in your house. I almost lost my house twice, and by the grace of God, I still have it. But that's it. This should never happen. And this should not be happening from a police department that's supposed to be protecting and serving. We shouldn't be living in a city where we don't feel safe. We shouldn't be living in a city where the mayor allows the police to harass his own citizens. We shouldn't live in a city where you can complain to a mayor, to a city manager, to the assistant city manager, and when we call names, when you complain to Mayor Betsy Price, when you complain to David Cook, when you complain to Jay Choppa, and you don't even get a response back, nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean not a return email, not a phone call, not nothing. And if y'all think I'm playing, since this Gerald is out there, ask him, didn't I contact him repeatedly? His office, too. I contacted Halstead because I believe he's the one that sicked them on me. Halstead, Krauss, Fitzgerald, and now Noakes, all of them. Nothing. Not even a return call. Nothing. And when they have, let me take that back, when they have, it's only for the officer to call you and be very dismissive of what you're saying and tell you how it couldn't be and how they're closing the case because they didn't find any wrongdoing on the parts of their officers. That part. And I think the worst case I saw, and I'm going to call names tonight, and if you want to sue me, come for me. Because I got receipts. In 2012, I left Fort Worth for 8 months. From January to August, I left. That's the initial move that I told you all about, and the U-Haul. In August, I came back because the harassment in Memphis was equal to the harassment here. So I said, why am I there if it's going to be the same as here? I come back. And you all can go check your weather reports. In August sometime, there was a hailstorm that came through Memphis in August of 2012. I called my insurance company out to look at my roof, and they said, because I have a lot of trees in my yard, they said, we don't find any hail damage on your roof, but was your car here? I said, yeah. That was the same 1995 Honda Accord that they were messing with. They came out or got off the roof and looked at the car and said, I think we're going to have to total your car. And I was like, really? So they did. So this was coming up on the Labor Day weekend. So when they said the check was ready, it was, I want to say, the Friday before that Labor Day, y'all can check your dates, of 2012. And the holiday, I want to say, was Monday. So Tuesday, I pick up the check and take it to the bank next door, which was the bank of the insurance company. They said, after I had signed it and fingerprinted myself, that when they ran it through the system, there was a one-day hold on it. So now I have a check that has my fingerprint and my signature on it, and I can't cash it that day at their bank anyway. Because I had been in Memphis, I was banking in Memphis at that time. So I left the bank, and I was telling who I thought was a friend about what had just happened. And I said, my bank is in Memphis, and I really was planning to do something with this money this afternoon. The friend said, I tell you what, I'll cash the check in my bank, and then I'll just deposit it in my account. I said, okay, fine. So remember, the check has my signature, and it has my thumbprint on it. I did the exchange with my friend. Didn't think anything of it initially. The next day, I just got this heightened sense of urgency to call my friend and make certain that this check made it to the bank, because I was concerned, again, my fingerprints on here, my thumbprint anyway, and my signature. I couldn't reach my friend that day. The next day, I called again, and I reached them, and they told me they lost the check. Mm-hmm, they lost the check. So I immediately went over to their house to find this check, because I know I've handed it to them in their driveway, so I'm just hysterical at this point, like, okay, what are we going to do here? Because knowing that I'm being harassed, I can't go get a second check, because I'm afraid that if I do, then some kind of way after I go get a second check, the first check will surface. Somebody will take it to, let's just say, a liquor store, pay $50, and then all of a sudden I'm responsible for that check because it looks like I went in there, right? My signature is my signature. It's my thumbprint. Anyway, I got three different stories on what happened to the check. I was told the brother had been in the house and he was over there somewhere where the check was. The next time I was told that the check was in the car, and then the next time I was told some unknown person must have taken the check. So three different stories. So at this point, I'm really concerned. And then I began to question, why was somebody that I thought I know, or thought I knew, do it? I'm trying to decide a motive. Well, but why would they do that? Because I'm not understanding. It's just not logical that the check just disappeared. And to me, anyway. And so I began to think about a conversation that I'd had about that person. And the minute I had the conversation about that person on two separate occasions, and I'm going to call it the Holy Spirit, y'all. Both times I was having the conversation over the phone, the Holy Spirit said, you should not be having that conversation over the phone. And I was thinking to myself, but it's the truth. I'm telling the truth. The conversation was about that person and something that I had observed. It wasn't something that I could prove definitively, but it was something that caused great concern. And it is my belief, and I don't know if the truth will ever surface, that because my phone had been wiretapped for quite some time by that point, I believe that a member of the Fort Worth Police Department told my friend what I had said, something that I had witnessed, but that's all I was saying, was that I witnessed it, I was not comfortable with it, and it gave me great concern. I believe when they told that person that, I believe the person was led to believe I was going to contact authorities about what I'd seen. However, nothing could be further from the truth, because I never go off of something that I can't prove to do a report on something like that that could cause someone to go to jail. And I don't want y'all to ramble too far with your thoughts on what it was about, but it was very concerning, let's just say that. And so it is my belief that the Fort Worth Police Department got to him told him about that conversation, led him to believe that I was going to get him in trouble because of it. The person's whole demeanor began to change after the two times, after I had that conversation twice with someone. So long story short, the check was good for 6 months. Go figure. I was determined I was not going to get a second check from my insurance company until the check expired. Again, for the same reasons, because I was afraid once I get the second check and the second check is cash, then some kind of way the first check will surface that will still be good based on the date, had my signature, had my thumbprint, and they take it to a liquor store, and then I would then be responsible for that. So the next thing I know, I get a notice in the mail from J.P. Court over on Miller Street. I was then told that I was being sued for the amount that he gave me, but the statement was that it was because he had done $2,500 worth of repairs on my house, on my kitchen and my bath. My house was built in 1926. There was no recent update on my bathroom and my kitchen. So I see this notice. I can't wait to go to court and tell my side, naively, not knowing that I was being set up. Okay? So I arrive at court that day, only to find a police presence there. I saw two marked cars. One had a uniform officer. One had a plainclothes officer. They both were African American. When I got out of my car, I then became concerned, but it was too late to back out. So I proceed to go into the courthouse, and the undercover or the plainclothes officer even opened the door for me. They proceeded to go into the office of Judge Lisa Woodard. I then waited for my time to go to court. I went in, and I've never seen such a kangaroo court my whole life. And again, if anybody want to go back and tell her I said it, I stand behind everything I say tonight. I went into that courtroom, and I was bullied by someone who had a robe on and the authority given to them to do what they do. This person who took me to court was asked by Judge Woodard to tell her why he was there. He told her that he was coming because he had done repairs on my house and had been unpaid. And at that point, I saw a language that made me uncomfortable. It wasn't verbal, but it was definitely a body language and a somewhat of a coaching that was nonverbal, that he didn't answer the question right. He pauses and then changes the story. He then changes the story to say that it was about a $2,500 loan. She then proceeds to ask him, Mr. Jackson, so which are you suing her for? Now, remember, the written complaint says he did repairs. It clearly is written out, right? So when she asked him this question, again, it was a nonverbal kind of nodding, kind of coaching, if you will. He then changes the story and says, well, it's about the loan. So I can't wait to speak. I'm like, okay, he just perjured himself, right? So when it becomes my turn to speak, she's very rude. Her body language is with the head twerking like, you know, hood girls do. And she's working her neck, and she's all frowned up at me, totally different from the way she just treated him. And I proceed to tell her, listen, he just perjured himself. He just told you two different reasons why he has me in court. She proceeds to interject why she thinks he did it, and she said maybe he got confused. Maybe he got confused. Okay. So then I know I'm in trouble. I know then, okay, this is not looking good. Mr. Jackson then proceeds to tell her that he's had an on-again, off-again relationship with me since 1999. I know this is not true. So, again, I can't wait until it's my turn to speak. So when she comes back to me and I get a chance to speak again, she's rude, she's working her neck, she's all frowned up. And I began to tell her, listen, I've never had a relationship with this person. That's a total lie. She then, again, interjects and says, he didn't say what kind of relationship. I then know I'm in trouble. I then know it's a wrap. So I lose it at this point because I've never been to court like this before. I've been to court before, but I ain't never been to no court like this, no kangaroo court like this. So I'm just like, I lose it. And so I then tell her, judge, you're being biased. She then went all the way hood on me, start working her neck, start all frowned up. I mean, starts yelling at me, and she tells me, listen, don't you dare disrespect me in my courtroom. I will find you in contempt of court and put you in the Tarrant County Jail for 24 hours. And I'm looking like, is she serious? Like, this is a real court? Like, what kind of, I mean, who does this? So I'm like, looking like everybody in here looks like me, and this is the biggest bunch of bullshit I've ever seen in my life. Excuse my French for all the church mothers, as Tonya Harder would say. But I'm like in total disbelief that I'm being, first of all, drugged into court over something that's not true, and then he'd be allowed to change his statement and then watch the judge continuously defend him. And then last but not least, y'all, she ruled for him. Mm-hmm, that part. So, Judge Lisa Willard over at the JP Court on Miller Street put a fake mechanics lien against my house. That's there until today. A mechanics lien that is a lie. There were no repairs that were done on my house. But they had a way. Do you see how the system did? They put it on paper that it was about a mechanics lien. Only for him to get in court and say it was really about the loan, but they put the mechanics lien against my house. That part. So when you talk harassment, oh yeah, I've seen it. And so I posed the question to city council, who gonna make it right? I mean, who's going to make it right? I've had screens removed from my windows. I've had my sprinkler system messed with. I mean, y'all don't know the sleepless nights and the mental anguish that has been attached to this harassment. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know what it feels like to have your peace taken away from you. Over what? Over the fact I told the story of a young man that got killed by Fort Worth police. Since I'm out here now, y'all, I might as well tell the story, because if they don't get me, they're going to really get me now. So I might as well put it out there. The story that was told that night by the young man who was the passenger in the car, his story was this, since they've taken it down. The young man said that Sherrall Thomas and he were going somewhere. He went to Sherrall's house that night, and when he went to the house, he saw a van down the street. And he told Sherrall, you see that van down there? And Sherrall told him, yeah, I saw that van, but I ain't doing nothing, so I'm going to take my kids to dinner or something, because it was one of his birthday. So they proceed to get in the car to go. Some kind of way, they say Sherrall failed to stop at a stop sign. At that point, an undercover van got behind him. when he finally stops, he's at Rosedale in 820. Some kind of way after that, they say Sherrall Thomas was told that he had a warrant out of Dal Worthington Gardens. I understand that Sherrall Thomas told them at that point, nope, I don't have no warrant. Nope, I'm sure I don't have no warrant. They said, yeah, you do. So he didn't have knowledge that a ticket that he had gotten for having a TV visible to the driver had turned into a warrant. I guess he didn't resolve the issue and it turned into a warrant. That's it. He then said, I need to call my mother to come get the kids because he lived not too far away. They told him, nope. So he had already started dialing the mother. They said, nope, get out the car. So he wouldn't get off the phone, so I understand they took a this ain't my story. This is somebody else's story. So I'm just telling you what was said on that show. So they take the phone and they throw it in the back seat, which I question Sherrall Thomas's judgment at that particular time, but I don't know the circumstances that would make somebody feel that they did not want to be arrested if they didn't feel like they had warrants or whatever. But anyway, I understand that the three kids were his concern. I don't know the young man that was with him, but maybe he didn't feel that he knew the young man well enough to leave his three kids with him. So he was just trying to get the kids back to the house, and then he told them he would allow them to arrest him. I understand they told him that was not a deal. They were not going to allow him to go home and then be arrested. That said, Sherrall Thomas made a bad decision to hit the gas and try to make it home. At that point, you know, Officer Romer began to shoot in the car. That was the story that was told by the police department. However, the passenger in the car who came on the show in October stated that there were multiple officers shooting into the car. And so he said the bullets were coming from both directions. So it is my belief that because that was only stated on my show and never put in mainstream media, then that has been the reason for the harassment. It was almost as though Fort Worth PD was like, you know, I had crossed some line that obviously you can't cross in this city, and they were going to make my life a living hell. Well, they did. They absolutely did. And they stole something from me in the midst of all this harassment that I can't get back. They took away my ability to trust people. I don't make friends easily now. Mm-mm. I have to choose you. You can't choose me. I have to vet you in such a way that it shouldn't be. I have to always question what caused you to approach. It took away an innocence that I had, a naivety that I had, that I can't have anymore. It makes you guarded. It makes you distrustful. It makes you have a discernment that's like, oh, fleek it all the time. It just is. But sometimes you miss just being able to meet new people and not question their motives. And for that I say, Bessie Price's tenure here in Fort Worth may include the fact that, you know, some people say she bullies from the pulpit. Other people say her tenure lacks transparency. Some say she's got a security detail like that of a president. Others might say she has a way of excluding the have-nots, that, you know, basically if you don't have money, then you're just not included. Her tenure will include the fact that people Countless people went into the city council chambers week after week and said that they did not feel safe in the city. Her tenure will include the fact that it's been alleged corruption going on in downtown Fort Worth by Willoughby. Told y'all part of that. Brian Byrd told y'all in his campaign that he knew of corruption. We know that Chief Fitzgerald also said there's corruption downtown. We know about the Jacqueline Craig situation and how that was handled. She also appears to be a mayor that holds grudges. That said, we also know the fact that a Tatiana Jefferson in the year 2019 when 10 shootings took place and one took, or 10 police shootings took place and one took the life of a Tatiana Jefferson. But the tenure of Mayor Betsy Price will also include that for her entire term as the mayor of Fort Worth, she never, ever attempted to stop the harassment of Carrie Hines at the hands of Fort Worth PD. It's almost as though she enjoyed it. It's almost as though her and David Cook have become complicit. They're careless. They're cold-hearted. They don't care. And someone posted when I spoke at the city council meeting the other night, 2 weeks ago, somebody posted the video, and someone put in the comments section, they look like they don't give a fuck. That's exactly the way I feel. They have treated me like what I was going through did not matter. All the stuff that I lost did not matter. The fact that I, for 7.5 years, was not able to stay in my house, the fact that I moved multiple times, and these are incidences, y'all, that were documented and sent to them in countless emails and calls. Can you make it stop? Will you make it stop? They did this. They did that. Can you stop it? Can you make it stop? Only to have a mayor and a city manager who didn't even respond with an email or a phone call. That's just what the tenure of Mayor Betsy Price looks like. So I couldn't let her leave office, y'all, without telling the truth. I couldn't let her leave office and people not know how cold Betsy Price is. Now, I don't know what her motivation for not stopping it was. I don't know what David Cook's motivation for not stopping it was. But I can only say at some point they became complicit. Because when you choose not to assist and you're in leadership, that's your responsibility to the city. I mean, Jay Chopper is the top cop. So if they don't make it stop, who's going to make it stop? I mean, I just don't understand who else was I supposed to tell? I mean, when you tell the mayor, who can fire a police chief, right? When you tell the city manager, Jay Chopper, who's the top cop in town, when you tell David Cook, who's the city manager, who else can you tell? Or who else are you supposed to tell? Something's got to give. And so I think it's by divine order that Mayor Betsy Price will not be there in a couple of weeks. I think 10 years was way too long. I think I've lived through 10 years of hell at the hands of Betsy Price and David Cook. I just couldn't let her leave office without the truth being told of all that I went through. And, y'all, this is just some of the things that I could think about at the last minute. Because I didn't book this show until 6:30 tonight. But I just couldn't let her leave office and let y'all all believe that she was up there doing her job. No, she didn't do her job. No, she didn't do her job. Well, she was reckless.
Listen,
had I not been a Christian, had I not known that, as my song said, a change going to come, had I not been someone who believes in the power of prayer, y'all, this would have took me out of here. This would have taken me out of here. I have gone to the emergency room one time because my pressure was spiking so high. I have gone to the emergency room with my heart rate out of control. I have had so many sleepless nights because when I was in Memphis, I couldn't even attend my own aunt's funeral. I couldn't attend. Why? Because I did not want an undercover officer to invade my family's privacy. So I didn't go. I just drove by. Because this was one of the pillars of our family. And my family deserved to grieve in peace. So I didn't even go because they have followed me even into churches. So when I think about Bessie Price leaving, she is leaving blood everywhere. She is leaving blood all over this city for what she failed to do while she was there. I could have very easily been a Tatiana Jefferson. I could have very easily been her had I continued to leave that alarm system in that was going off. It would tend to go off in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was so afraid that I got to get this thing disconnected before it goes off in the middle of the night and the police show up. And then what? So if y'all understood the nature of the beast, and the fact that we have a female mayor who doesn't have any bit of empathy or sympathy for anything, is not connected to money. The lady never returned a call. I've never, ever spoken to Bessie Price, ever. The first time I spoke with Bessie Price was 2 weeks ago when I addressed the whole council. I've never talked to her. I got David Cook on the phone one time. David Cook said, I'll call you back. He never did. Never spoken with Jay Talpa. Not at all. Have not spoken with any of the police chiefs. Not at all. And if y'all think I'm lying, go ask Fitzgerald. So this week, when I saw a Tatiana Jefferson sister personally sue Bessie Price and the city, the Chief Krause, I can so understand. Because what they're saying is it didn't have to be. So the same applies to me. It didn't have to be. Had she stepped up and been the mayor that we put her or somebody put her in office to be? She just hasn't managed the city right. David Cook has not managed the city right. They have basically, it's almost as though they have some twisted sense of humor about police and harassment. They don't have a gauge as to when it's too much. And they can't say they didn't know because I hired an attorney to defend me. They can't say they didn't know because I've written them countless times. They can't say they didn't know because I called their office. So at the point in which you say, well, why did they let it continue? It's a million-dollar question. It's a million-dollar question that I myself cannot answer, except at some point they became complicit and maybe even thought it was funny. I mean, I can't even explain it. But that's the nightmare that I've been living. The money that I've lost, the things that I've lost, my house that I almost lost twice. I mean, just... And they just pretend like they don't even know. They just, you know, go on like business as usual. Something got to change downtown. And for 3 months I've covered the elections and the candidates and all of that. And the whole time I'm thinking, Lord, let something change down there. Lord, let something change down there. Don't let us continue to have a bully for mayor. I mean, she ran this city like she's a member of the mafia. You got a security detail that is like that of a president. What are you living in fear for? But you don't think that I, who am being harassed, deserve something? I mean, if you got, I don't know how many people in the detail, but I think it's quite a few, and I don't have any security, and I'm constantly contacting you saying, can you make it stop? Can you make it stop? Mayor, please make it stop. David Cook, please make it stop. Police chief, please make it stop. And nothing. Nothing. So the title of this show tonight was The Tenure of Betsy Price. Betsy Price allowed Fort Worth PD to harass me. That's the title of tonight's show. Betsy Price allowed Fort Worth PD to harass me. The title, if I could have made it longer, I would have said Betsy Price and David Cook and Jay Chapa allowed Fort Worth PD to harass me. And so I say to Chief Noakes, a lot of people like you. A lot of people say you're a good guy. A lot of people say you're going to do things differently. All I can say is it's a wait and see. I know what I've been dealing with. And I just pray something changes. I do. But I so can relate to a Tatiana Jefferson's family this week and the move they made, because Betsy Price and David Cook and the city, they have a personal liability involved when it's an insurance term, when you're liable after you had the knowledge or you had time to know that there was a problem and you didn't fix it. So in my situation, from 2011 to 2021, that's 10 years. Did they have time to know that there was a problem? Absolutely. Did I document it? Absolutely. Did I call? Absolutely. Did they care? Absolutely not. That part. So, and excuse me, y'all, I just finished an insurance test, and I should know that term. But there's a liability involved when you know, or you should have known. So in both cases, it isn't a case that they should have known, they knew. In the case of Tatiana Jefferson and myself, they knew and they did nothing. Nothing. So while Betsy Price was in her bed comfortably sleeping for 10 years, I have had sleepless nights almost every night. Yep, that part. and they didn't give a damn. They didn't. And I've had these folks block job opportunities. It's like they want to bankrupt you. They have done everything they could to mess with my finances. They broke into storage facilities that I've had. Y'all even lived in a townhouse in Duncanville where I got a notice one day from the management that they were going to do a pop-up inspection. And out of the whole complex, our unit was chosen. And I tried to get out of it, and I kept, how do you choose us? Why us? Why you gotta do our apartment? Anyway, the lie was that we were it, and it couldn't be changed. Okay, so it was an upstairs and downstairs town hall house. So there were two people that came in. So I stayed with the person that was downstairs while my friend went with the people upstairs. Now, an inspection is only supposed to be of the way the unit is being kept. However, I would later find that when they went upstairs, they were taking pictures of my personal items. Yep, that part. Now, what they had to do with an inspection, I don't know. But when it was over and I determined that they had taken pictures upstairs, they didn't do that downstairs, but the area that I wasn't in, that's where they did it. So we immediately went to the manager, and I complained, and I demanded to see the photos of what they had photographed and questioned why was my unit chosen, why were items photographed that didn't have anything to do with an inspection, and let's just say there were no true answers, just a whole bunch of lying. And I never got down to why, who, what, when, and where. It was just all just round and round circles of lies. So needless to say, I broke the lease and got out of there because I was very fearful at that point. If you will fake an inspection to come into this unit and take pictures, what will you do when I'm not here? So, y'all, those are just some of the things that I can think of that have happened to me, and that ain't all, but that's just some of them. And like I said, I didn't book this show until 6:30, but that's just the things that popped in my head since 6:30. And, you know, we went on the air at 7. But it's been a living nightmare. It's been year after year after year after year of no change. We chased the police chief a couple of times, but we kept the same manager, and David Cook has been in there since 2014. I was so desperate for change that the minute he got into office, I wrote him. And Fitzgerald can tell you I wrote him before he even hit the ground here. When I found out who he was going to be, I wrote him when he was still on his job in the other city. That's just how desperate I was for something to change, and nothing ever has. And I guess, just like Betsy Price said at the church when they were addressing the Jacqueline Craig story, I guess my emails were just bitch sessions. As she told Jacqueline Craig, ma'am, she didn't come there for a bitch session. I guess when I was writing her, she probably said the same thing. She doesn't want to read this whole email of bitch sessions. I don't know. But she does not. I feel like Kanye West said about George Bush don't like black people. I don't think Betsy Price like black people either. It's just my opinion. It's just that simple. She just doesn't care. And I feel like the city should make what happened to me right. I think the vandalism that happened to my home, the city is responsible for it. I think the things that were stolen from my house, the city is responsible for it. I think the 7.5 years that I couldn't stay in my house out of fear, the city owes me those house payments. I think all the late fees and all the things that have accrued, the city owes me for it. I do. I think the year that I stayed in a hotel because I couldn't live in my house, the city owes me for it. And as soon as I find a good attorney who ain't scared of Fort Worth, I'm going to sue. That I'm going to do. Because you know what? It ain't supposed to happen. And all I wanted it to do, y'all, year after year, was just stop so I can get on with my life. And it's like she did not care. But one thing I will say to the mayor, karma is real. And whatever man sows, he's going to reap again. No matter who he or she is, you're going to reap that again. So whatever you allow to happen to me, somebody will allow to happen to you. But I couldn't let your tenure end without telling the folks, the good folks of Fort Worth, just how bad of a mayor you were, and just how mean you were, and just how careless you were. You could care less about all the anguish that I went through, all the heartache, all the tears. They meant nothing to her. So on that, I will sign off. And I will say, who makes this right? Because I'm not going to stop talking about it. And if I have to get me a picket sign and go down in front of City Hall, I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to stop talking until somebody makes this right. So on that, good night, Let's Talk Fort Worth is signing off.